Welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway. Happy New Year. Today is a bit of a milestone for me as it's the 1 year anniversary of my On This Day in Tudor History series of talks. I challenged myself to do a daily video for my YouTube channel based on my book On This Day in Tudor History. And I challenged myself to do that for the whole of 2019. And I had no idea that it would be so popular and that it would end up becoming podcasts too. And here I am for another year. So thank you so much to you for following me and for following the pets who I think are in the background doing things. Who knows what they're up to? This year, I will be bringing you even more Tudor events and information about Tudor people. And what's really good is that I'll also be linking to last year's talks so you can be reminded of those or enjoy another On This Day event for the very first time. Today, I'm carrying on from my cliffhanger of the 27th of December. The 27th of December 1539 was the day that Anne of Cleves landed on English soil, and she was due to marry King Henry VIII as his fourth wife. And I said about how I would tell you what happened at their first meeting. I mentioned how historian Amy Lysons had noted that Henry VIII really should have learnt from the disastrous first meeting of King Henry VI and Margaret of Anjou. So let me first tell you a little bit about that meeting. King Henry VI was desperate to see his future bride, Margaret of Anjou, who'd been fetched from France by William de la Pole. But Margaret was ill. The king just couldn't wait to see her, so he decided to disguise himself as a squire and take her a letter, allegedly from the king. He knelt in front of Margaret and she completely ignored him, leaving him on his knees while she read the letter. After he had left, de la Pole had to explain to Margaret that the squire had actually been the king. And Margaret was described as being vexed because she had kept him on his knees. Of course, as historian Lauren Johnson has pointed out, Margaret may have been fully aware of what was going on and was just playing the innocent lady as part of this game of courtly love. It's hard to say. But history seemed to repeat itself on the 1st of January 1540, New Year's Day, when King Henry VIII decided to play the game of courtly love. Like Henry VI before him, Henry VIII was excited about meeting his bride-to-be for the first time and couldn't wait for her official reception at Greenwich. So he decided to disguise himself and travel to Rochester, where she was staying, to surprise her. Chronicler and Windsor Herald Charles Risley gives an account of this first meeting. And on New Year's Day at afternoon, the King's Grace, with five of his privy chamber, being disguised with cloaks of marble with hoods that they should not be known, came privily to Rochester, and so went up into the chamber where the said Lady Anne looked out at a window to see the bull baiting that was that time in the court. And suddenly he embraced her and kissed and showed her a token that the king had sent her for her New Year's gift. And she, being abashed, not knowing who it was, thanked him. And so he communed with her. But she regarded him little, but always looked out of the window on the bull baiting. And when the king perceived she regarded his coming so little, he departed into another chamber and put off his cloak and came in again in a coat of purple velvet. And when the lords and knights did see his grace, they did him reverence. And then she, perceiving the lords doing their duties, humbled her grace lowly to the king's majesty. And his grace saluted her again, and so talked together lovingly, and after took her by the hand and led her into another chamber where they solaced their graces that night until Friday at afternoon. As we can see from this account, Anne was not expecting a visit from the king. Henry was in disguise, and Anne did not realise who he was, and so treated him just like a servant. Oops. However, it doesn't sound like it was too disastrous, as the king and Anne then talked lovingly together, as Charles Risley says, after the misunderstanding. But in the depositions taken a few months later during the annulment proceedings, Sir Anthony Browne, King Henry VIII's Master of the Horse, gave a slightly different account. The said Sir Anthony saith how at the arrival of the Queen at Rochester, the King's Highness appointed to go thither to see her upon New Year's Day, and ordered the said Anthony to wait upon him, and at his coming thither to go before him with this message, how he had brought her a New Year's gift, if it liked her to see it. And when the said Sir Anthony entered the chamber where she was, and having conceived in his mind what was by pictures and advertisements signified of her beauty and qualities, at the general view of the ladies he thought he saw no such thing there, and yet were further of better favour than the Queen. But when he was directed unto herself, and advisedly looked upon her, he saith he was never more dismayed in all his life, lamenting in his heart, which altered his outward countenance, to see the lady so far and unlike that was reported, and of such sort as he thought the King's Highness should not consent himself with her. Nevertheless, at his return to the King's Majesty with her answer, the said Sir Anthony said nothing. He durst not. Then when the King's Highness entered to embrace her and kiss her, the said Sir Anthony saith he saw and noted in the King's Highness' countenance such a discontentment and misliking of her person, as he was very sorry of it. For the said Sir Anthony saith he much marked that the King's Highness tarried not to speak with her 20 words, but called for her counsel, and with his counsel, and them devised communication all that night. The King's Highness, without showing any cheerful or merry countenance, disclosed not his heart. But whereas the King's Majesty had brought with him a partlet furred with sables and richly garnished, sable skins garnished wear about her neck with a muffle furred to give the Queen and a cap, the King's Highness passed over the execution of his intent that night, and in the morning sent them by the said Sir Anthony Browne with as cold and single a message as might be. The said Sir Anthony saith also how the King's Majesty, returning in his barge from thence to Greenwich, said to the said Sir Anthony, by his Highness's commandment then sitting by him, these words very sadly and pensively: I see nothing in this woman as men report of her, and I marvel that wise men would make such report as they have done. With which words the said Sir Anthony was abashed, fearing lest anything should be objected to my Lord of Southampton, his brother, for that he had written to her praise. So this first meeting was used as evidence of the king's unhappiness and his view that he'd been deceived into marrying Anne by those who'd made false reports about her and her appearance. So which account is true? The one by Charles Risley, where he kind of downplays it and the king and Anne then talked lovingly, or this one by Anthony Browne? Well, it is likely that the king was humiliated by this meeting. According to chivalric tradition, the woman was meant to be able to see through a disguise and recognise her true love. Anne was meant to fall in love with Henry at first sight. She was meant to be bowled over by him. But she'd ignored him and carried on watching the bull baiting. And this must have been a blow to Henry VIII's pride, particularly as it happened in front of Anne's ladies and the king's men. He may have been able to cover up his embarrassment, but I do think that this had a major impact on how he felt about Anne. But I don't think he'd been deceived at all. Nobody else found Anne unattractive or questioned Holbein's depiction of her or reports on her looks and personality. And I'm sure those that fetched her from Calais would have been worried and done something to warn the king if they'd found anything wrong with his bride-to-be. After all, those sent to greet her in Calais had included the king's best friend, Charles Brandon, Duke of Suffolk. Surely he would have sent an urgent message to the king if something had been wrong. My own personal view is that Henry VIII just needed to blame someone else for setting him up with a woman who hadn't been wowed by him on their first meeting. He just couldn't get over that initial humiliation, and it left him unable to consummate the marriage, which was even more humiliating. It couldn't be his fault, though. If only Anne had been warned of Henry VIII's love of dressing up. If only someone had whispered in her ear that the servant in front of her was actually the King of England. If only Anne had swooned and sunk to her knees, recognising her husband-to-be. Oh, if only. I'm sure Anne of Cleves would have made a wonderful queen consort if the king had only given her a chance. It just seems so sad. Now, I'm going to give you a link to last year's talk on an event from the 1st of January 1511, the birth of a son for King Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon. And today is also obviously New Year's Day. And last year I did a talk on how New Year was celebrated in Tudor times. So I'll also give you a link to that. So lots of goodies today to celebrate the New Year. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.